the dead. Resurrection means rising from the dead. He rose from the grave, conquering death. Isaiah says, swallowed up death in victory. We celebrate this morning this act, a glorious act, as the angels, the ones in shiny garments, said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" You know, they weren't surprised. I believe that they were surprised when they announced the Savior's birth, but they weren't surprised here that he was glorified, that he rose from the grave, that death couldn't keep him. They were just notifying those that were surprised. Where is he? Where's his body? What have they done with him? "He is not here. He is risen," they stated. In Romans 1, the Bible tells us that by this very act of the resurrection, God used it as a declaration to mankind, to humanity, to the world, to the universe, that Jesus is the Son of God. No one can, you know, rise from the dead. No one has power over death. No human being. But through this act, the Bible tells us, Paul explains that it was God's declaration that he's God the Son of God, who he is. The Bible tells us about resurrection as a topic. You know, one passage or account is found in John chapter 11. I often go to read at funerals. In it, the Bible tells us, well, turn to it. I'm going to sum it up, but I'm going to read a couple of verses. Turn to John chapter 11. The Bible tells us in the beginning of chapter 11 that some came to Jesus, notifying him that Lazarus was sick. And Jesus told them that this sickness isn't unto death. Look at verse 4. "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." The account goes on, as Jesus didn't draw towards Lazarus until 4 days later. He didn't go to Bethany right away on purpose. But then he made his way towards Bethany, and on his way in, Martha heard he was coming in. Martha, Lazarus' sister, went out to greet Jesus. Bible tells us that when she seen him, she blamed him. "If you were here, Lazarus, my brother, wouldn't have died. You could have kept him from dying." That's true. She was right. Yet, Jesus, informing her in verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" On purpose, when he was notified at the beginning, he knew Lazarus was going to die. And on purpose, he let him die. And for a reason that he explains why, that the Son of Man may be glorified. He's going to illustrate a point that he's the resurrection and the life, that he has power over death, of who he is, the Son of God, glorified. Will be seen through this account for us throughout history. But for Martha, for Lazarus, for those in Bethany. He said, "I am," a radical statement, "I am the resurrection and the life." That's a bold expression. That's huge. Jesus alone can make that, claim. "I am the resurrection and the life." He said, "He who lives and believes in me shall never die." And he tags it with, "Do you believe this?" He, wanting to use the death of Lazarus as a illustration or a lesson for mankind, that of who he is and of his realm. I am the resurrection and the life. And through this, notifies us that he wanted to share it. He lives and believes in me, shall never die. And the terms by which those are to share it. Do you believe this? He says. The Bible tells us of his realm. In Romans, the Bible tells us that Romans 5, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Paul tells us of the realm of man, the realm we live in, this realm. And in that realm, Paul describes and explains that we're in this realm, this fallen nature, because of one man. Taking back, to the root, Adam, who sinned, and because of his offense, sin entered the world, he said. And through sin, death. And death passed every man because all have sinned. So the realm in which Paul explains and describes is the realm of the natural realm, the natural realm of mankind that we're born into. He said that it's a realm of death, a realm of sin that leads to death and that passes on through generations. Every man born is born into this realm. By sinning brought death to man, this realm of death. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, I think Paul wrote Hebrews, he explains that man or mankind or us, historically, humanity, has been in the bondage of fear because of death, in this realm of death that we're born into. Paul went on to explain, who gave victory over that realm and gives victory over that realm, but describes and explains the realm of Adam, the realm of man, the realm we're born into. It's a realm of sin, a realm of death. The Bible tells us in Genesis that when God made man, his ideal wasn't that man would die, but that man would live forever in fellowship with God. He provided for man, Eve, the companion, that they were to multiply, fill the earth, and all the provisions in the Garden of Eden, the Bible tells us, of all the fruit of the tree in the garden you can eat. Leaving one restriction, one prohibited tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And of that tree, he told Adam, don't eat of it. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Satan, the serpent, deceiving Eve, tricked her by his wiles, Paul says in Corinthians, into tempting her, into eating of that fruit. And sure enough, just like God said, the day that he ate of it, he died spiritually. He was cut off from God, and physical death was brought into Adam's realm because of sin. It wasn't God's ideal. It's not God's plan. It was never God's purpose that we would die, that we would decay, that corruption would take over our body. The Bible tells us that God's plan is that we would never die. The realm we're born into is the realm of Adam, or man, or mankind. Well, Jesus introduces another realm, and it's over the natural realm. When he told Martha, Martha, Lazarus isn't dead as you suppose. He's going to rise again. And introducing to, it was a revelation. Written in Scripture. He explaining to Martha, I am the other realm. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ is the realm that is over this realm we're born into, the realm of sin and death. He came, the Bible tells us, born into this world, entered this realm, the Bible tells us in Philippians, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, the Bible says. It's known as the kenosis in Philippians. How God in glory condescended into man, entering into our realm, mankind. The Bible says that he took the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of man. To be a servant, that word is bondservant, a slave. He came, born in our realm, to be a servant, a slave, to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The Bible says that he from glory, who never sinned, the glorified God, creator, it tells us in Colossians, became a man, took on the form of a man, in the likeness of man, became a servant, even to the point of death, even the death of the cross, the Bible said. Death he never deserved. Yet he entered this realm. He entered this realm to die. Now that is what surprised the angels. They didn't understand. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that they look at man. They're like studying the church in the body of Christ for God's next step. God didn't tell them what he was doing, his plan, the plan of the ages. I don't know if he entrusted them with it. But they knew and were not surprised when Jesus rose from the grave for who he is. He's the glorified one, the Son of God, God the Son. But he introduced this other realm, the realm in which he's the head, the realm that's over this realm of death, of sin, the natural realm we're born into, humanity, mankind, the result of the fall, the result of the curse, the result of sin, the realm of death. He entered this realm, and that's what Paul wrote to the Philippians, and he entered this realm, and he even died in the realm. He entered the realm, the curse, humanity, and he tasted death for everyone, the Bible says. He died upon the cross. He was crucified on the cross in this realm, but for a purpose, for a reason that we celebrate this morning. He rose. He conquered death, the Bible tells us. Without sin, the Bible tells us, at the cross, we noted on Friday, the Good Friday service, we looked at a series of scriptures, kind of like a string that connected our substitute, the Bible tells us, that he was the substitute. When he died upon the cross, he died as our substitute. Over and over again, so many scriptures, he died for us. He died for sinners. He died, Christ died for our sin. Hooper, in our place, in our stead, as our substitute. The cross. At the cross, he paid the price that defeated this realm. So the Bible tells us and explains to us. Paul goes in detail to explain. We had a head in humanity, Adam. And he's the federal head. We look back. All of humanity is related to Adam. And because he sinned, sin passed to every man. We're all born in sin. We're born in this realm of death. We're all going to die because of sin. But another was born. Paul says, he calls him the second Adam, another man. He entered the realm to die, to overturn, for victory, to triumph over this realm of death. That's why we celebrate Easter. Of what the act did. What it affected. What it means to me and you. The glorious triumph of Jesus Christ and his death. What that means. Turning our soul inside out. Restoring God's ideal for us. We're going to live forever. The Bible promises us. We're going to live forever with him in his realm. I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. He promises. He overturned this realm, and he desires to share this realm. The Bible tells us of his power, his realm, his domain, as the angel said, he's not here. He is risen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Now, you know, first, literally, what are you looking in the cemetery? In the grave, in the tomb for Jesus Christ? He's not here. He's risen. He's not even a part of this realm anymore. He's defeated it. He's above it. It's where he came from. The angel's just notifying them. I don't know. I think they did it with a little gloating. It's about time. He returned to his rightful position in glory. And Jesus says that. That's the example. I do this as an example that you would see the Son of God in his glory. The object lesson when he raised Lazarus from the dead. His intent to share this realm, his realm, his domain. He tells us in John, unless a grain of wheat dies and falls into the ground, it abides alone. But if it dies and falls into the ground, it bears much fruit. Paul in Corinthians tells us that, you know, giving the example that nature gives us, it's not by accident we celebrate Easter in the springtime. It's God's divine timing. We can look out. Yesterday I was, the day before Easter, I'm on my driveway. We were raking leaves, you know, in the front yard. I'm on the driveway. We got a bird nest right above our lamp. Life is coming back to our yard. The trees are budding. The grass is turning green. I took out my motorcycle. I washed my motorcycle. And the wind, a gust of wind blew, and hundreds of these little seedlings bombarded me in the driveway. God's plan. He uses nature, as Paul explains. You know, nature itself testifies to the truth of resurrection. Unless a seed fall in the ground and die, it's not dead. It's alive on that. When they're budding on that tree and they fall down, they're still alive till it's separated from the sap of the tree. And it takes a while for that seed to die. It dies, it falls into the ground, and sure enough, poof, another tree. We got lots of trees in our yard. But nature itself, Paul says, nature testifies to the resurrection. Our body, his price that he paid in dying on the cross, and the example he gave, the seed that falls into the ground and dies, will bear much fruit. Over and over again, Paul talks about him being the first born among the dead, his plan to take many with him, many brethren. To share his realm is his plan, has been all along. Isaiah testifies to us in the Old Testament, in that one chapter about our the Messiah. The Bible tells us, towards the end of 53, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He paid it for our sin upon the cross. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. He wants to share his realm. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He wants to share his realm with us. I am the resurrection and the life. If you live and believe in me, you will never die. He desires to share it. The Bible tells us in Revelations 1, when John the Apostle heard something, turned around, he seen Jesus. Jesus said to him, I am the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's sharing with John the Apostle in his glorified body, I'm God before you. And he says, the author, the beginning and the end, and he says, I have the keys of death and Hades. See, he, when he died upon the cross, rose from the grave, entered this realm, defeated our realm of death, overturned it. Now he has the keys. Now this morning, JoJo and they were fidgeting and I was handing him my keys and my, you know, everything I had. And JoJo was looking at my keys. And she said, Papa, your keys are really cool. I said, what? I can't hear you. She says, your keys, they're really cool. but his keys, the keys of death, the keys of Hades, are in his hands. He unlocks this realm. He's the one that opens up another realm, frees us. And why we celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Because of the victory he won, the triumph over death, over the grave, the hope of life after. That's why I share it so often at funerals. The hope he gives us, who he is. We have a heart attack, our heart stops beating, we open our eyes, Jesus Christ. He is our afterlife. He is the resurrection and the life. He desires to share his realm. The Bible tells us when he was praying to the Father in John chapter 17, he says, as you have given him authority, talking about himself, over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Authority over all flesh, that he shall give eternal life. He's got the keys. He's able to give you and I eternal life. We live forever. He paid the price. Paul explains why. It's a marvel what he's done. That's a surprise. Is it a surprise to us? When the Lord opens our eyes of what he's done for us, it's glorious. It's a triumph. It's victory. He conquered. He swallowed up death. The explanation given in Scripture, the reason why we celebrate, Romans tells us, but the free gift, explaining what he did at the cross and the resurrection, the two acts are one. The free gift is not like the offense. It's not like that which came through the one who sinned. It's not like Adam. It has nothing to do. It's over, above. It's different. It's spiritual. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of the grace by the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. He, Paul, explaining the act of his death and resurrection, and what it affected and how he overturned the victory he wrought over this realm. He says, you know, when Adam's sin entered the human race, that act, the act that he brought, is not like that act. It's greater. He says it's much more. It's abounding. It's above. It's greater in power. The triumph he won. And then he refers to it to us and for you and I as a free gift. It's a free gift to accept him and what he's done, that he might appropriate and work in my heart and soul forgiveness and pardon and eternal life freely. That's what Paul tells us, the act of his death and resurrection, this triumph over the grave, over death, over sin, conquering. Paul in Corinthians says, oh death, where is thy sting? O Hades, where is your victory? And again, Isaiah tells us that death was swallowed up in victory. He's alive. He's risen. He's no longer in this realm. But then he tags all the object lesson and the abounding, powerful truth of his realm that's above this realm with, do you believe this? Can you believe this? That's the question. This is what activates the realm. This is what activates the power and the spirit in my life and in your life, by entrusting myself to him. For if you live and believe in me, you will never die, he promises, to share his realm. It's how I respond to this truth. Do I live and believe in him? Am I living and believing in him? Good question. You know, it's a time to align myself before him. Who he is? He's worthy of every ounce of my worship and devotion, of my trust, over my spiritual future, over my salvation, who he is. Are you in Christ? Is your life lined up? Do you believe this? He tags this glorious illustration, this example. Put your trust in. Is that word, I believe, means to entrust your soul, to put your trust in. It's more than just, you know, an acknowledging in your thoughts. You got to put your life in his hands. You know what it means. We all know what it means. I couldn't articulate, but your spirit totally understands. And we're to respond, because he's the head of the new race. He's the one that invites us into his realm, a realm of life. Paul tells us he's a life-giving spirit. He has that power. He holds the keys to unlock our soul, unlock our future, provide for our future. That's why we worship him. That's why we celebrate Easter. He triumphed over death. It's the hope he gives us, life after the grave. He's put it in our heart. He put eternity in our hearts, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes. And only he's the one that can fulfill that, satisfy it. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we look to you, and we do marvel, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We do acknowledge Jesus, who you are, the resurrection and the life, the one that holds our eternal security in your hands, the one who opens the door to heaven to every man, who believes, who trusts, who commits themselves, who entrusts their heart and soul to you. Line us up, Lord. Line us up and free us up that we might enjoy and celebrate this glorious day of triumph and conquering over death, over realm, this realm of death and sin, over us and our soul and our sinnerhood and ness. Lord, we turn to you. We open our heart to you. We ask, Lord, that you fill us with your spirit, that you minister your love, your peace. And do, Lord, not let us rest if we're not right with you because of your love for us. Draw us, Lord, and open our heart to you. In Jesus' name, amen.